Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome Bernd Seidenthal to the podcast. Welcome, Bernd.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you work with Ludeca. You handle the you're the product manager for their induction heater line, and you've been with Ludeca since 1988. You have a university degree in marketing, international business. You've been involved with sales, trade shows, Salesforce, and then you're also are a CRL. What from the very brief bio did I miss that you want to fill in the blanks or expand upon?
No, pretty much that covers it. I mean, we wear a lot of hats here at Ludeca. We do what needs to be done to you know, move the company in the right direction, get everybody rolling in the right direction. So as far as duties in Ludeca, it was basically whatever it takes. Somebody in shipping is not in, then we fill in. And so we do what we need to do. But in essence, you covered pretty much everything that describes what I do here at Ludeca.
Excellent. Now, you're the product manager for the induction line heater. What is the induction line heater?
The induction line heater is a line called Shure Therm, and it's manufactured in the Netherlands by TM Induction Heating. And we picked them up just under a year ago. And we did quite extensive search for an induction line. We used to have an induction line, which we didn't have anymore, but it fits in with all predictive maintenance tools. So when I came across Shure Therm with a very unique technology, it definitely became very interesting because anytime a machine fails, usually you have a bearing that'll fail or a seal that'll fail. And anywhere between 16 and 30% of all failures are due to improper bearing installation. So we wanted to cover that aspect of predictive maintenance as well.
Excellent. Because I was just going to ask you, how important is bearing installation with equipment? And you said, you know, a tremendous amount of failures can be attributed to improper installation. But why is that bearing installation so important? Are those failures happening, you know, right after we start up, or are they running for a period of time and we're not getting the life out of the bearings we expected? Why is that so important?
It is important because if you damage the bearing during installation, it's not a matter of if, but when at that point. So before it is even turned once, you've already introduced the failure into that piece of equipment that you just installed. So it is extremely important because no amount of lubrication, no amount of alignment, no amount of care will save that bearing. At that point, it's a matter of how long before it does fail.
Absolutely. It is going to fail, just a matter of when. Now, what is the impact that you typically see that organizations have for not installing bearings correctly?
Well, downtime, of course, reduced production time, increased cost of repair. Because if you constantly have to be repairing a machine because it's improperly being installed, or if you have to replace a bearing every 3 months, every 4 months, every 6 months, so it increases cost. The bearing should last 24 months, 36 months, well taken care of, proper installation, lubrication, alignment, et cetera, et cetera. So your increase in repair cost, as well as downtime, which of course affects production. So all those hand in hand are very detrimental to any maintenance program.
Yes, absolutely. Now,
taking the step to move, be a little bit more proactive. What does proper bearing installation look like? And I'm hoping it doesn't involve a hammer.
Definitely not a hammer. Well, there's a whole process as far as installation. So it starts from when you actually receive the bearing at your facility. Storage is very important. So you have to keep it in a clean environment, preferably in the package it arrived. So if you don't introduce, you know, any foreign material into it, then, you know, you save that bearing. So it starts with storage. After storage, of course, then it becomes a matter of using the proper equipment to handle it. So you don't want a dirty environment. You want a clean space. You want to be able to use gloves. And once it comes time to install the bearing, then you have to have the proper tools as well. There's a myriad of ways of installing bearings. So you have oil baths, you have ovens, you have hot plates, you have induction heaters, and of course you have brute force hammers. People, believe it or not, they do use them because they don't have anything better. Or a rosebud, which everybody thinks, oh, my hand is steady enough, I'm not going to overheat that bearing. So all those hand in hand will add to a proper installation.
Excellent. Now, I'm glad you mentioned the storage of the bearings up front, because sometimes you see organizations, they remove the bearings from their packaging, or they are sitting on a shelf with vibrations and they sit there for years and they get some false burnelling happening. And then when you install them, even if you install them correctly, they're already prone to failure quickly. So that is vital. And then all those different tools you mentioned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, as you said, you know, you add to the destruction of the bearing by not installing it properly by all the things you mentioned. So yes, absolutely.
So with that, what tools or equipment are required for that proper bearing installation? I know we prefer not to use the hammers or the rosebuds, but what tools should we actually have to do this?
Okay, so if we're going to go into the types of heating forms that are used nowadays, you have the oil bath. So an oil bath is basically, we like to call it the French fry method. You have this hot oil, drop the bearing in there, get the oil up to temperature, give it enough time for the bearing to reach that same temperature, take it out, install it. So that would be one way. Then you have a hot plate. A hot plate is basically the hamburger method. You know, you got a plate, it's hot, you put it down. Then you let it stay at that temperature for a little while and flip it and flip it and flip it and flip it enough times so that both sides get an even temperature. So you're hoping that the plate is at the temperature you need it to be, and you're flipping it enough times that you don't overheat one side versus the other side. So that would be the hot plate. Then you have an oven. An oven is your typical oven where you will set a temperature, and you can have small ovens where you'll fit one item, or you have huge ovens where you have dozens of items or however many items or pieces you're looking to heat. So basically it's an oven. You set the temperature to the temperature that you want. You open the door, insert a bearing, and give it enough time to reach the temperature that has been preset. Once that's done, you take it out and install it. Then you have the induction heater. An induction heater comes in a variety of forms. So induction heaters will be used depending on the mass of the bearing. So if you have a bearing that's 20 pounds, or you have a bearing that's 100 pounds, or you have a bearing that's 300 pounds, the size, and it's the same with all the other ones, the size does matter. So with an induction heater, you're basically using a coil which produces a current. So you introduce some kind of electrical current to the bearing. So it's very important that all bearings have a demagnetizing cycle. So basically you put it on, put the temperature, with the temperature probe you monitor. So it's very important. With the temperature probe, you monitor the temperature of the bearing. When it reaches the desired temperature, you remove it and you install it. And in all cases, proper equipment is required, whether it's gloves, whether it's, in the case of an oil bath, to make sure you protect yourself from splashing. So gear is very important, having the proper gear to, in all these cases, to properly install the bearing. But those are the four main things. So oil bath, hot plate, oven, and induction heaters.
Excellent. Now, I remember, you know, going back years ago, we had a toaster oven in the lunchroom that we occasionally had to use to get the bearings a little warmer to get them on.
Correct.
Not saying that was the best approach, but that's what we had at the time. And we knew it was better than a hammer. So
much better than a hammer. And once again, it always relates to what equipment do you have to be able to do this? So the best thing you have is a hammer. Well, then the best thing you have is a hammer, and you attain yourself to those consequences. The best thing you have is the little oven, convection oven that's in your lunchroom. Well, then that will have to do as well.
Yep, exactly. Now, why do we want to use one of these bearing heaters, whether it's the oil bath, whether it's the plate, whether it's the induction heater, and just not use, like I did in the past, just that toaster oven? What advantages does it provide?
The one with the most advantage is the induction heater, because you can precisely monitor the temperature of a bearing. Okay, so temperature is key here. Oil baths, the problem with oil baths is there's only so many times you can use oil baths before you have to replace the oil. So it's a high cost of replacing oil. So you don't want to put it inside a dirty oil that is going to introduce some foreign material into the bearing. You're going to damage it. Hot plates, once again, usually they use a temp stick. So how accurate is a temp stick? How often are you flipping it? So the oven is very power hungry. Okay. So you have to, it's like when you bake a cake, you have to preheat it to a temperature, or that you can put whatever you want in there, but it's going to take much, much longer. So an induction heater is a lot more efficient. It takes much less time to heat than any of the other ones. For us, an induction heater is the way to go as far as using some kind of bearing heating form.
Excellent. Now, how hot do we have to get that bearing? Is it glowing red? Is it just, you know?
Nope. Like
200 degrees Fahrenheit, somewhere in that range. Where are we aiming for here?
Right, correct. So the maximum temperature, different bearing manufacturers will give you different values, but you never want to go above 250 degrees. I mean, that is like the ultimate temperature you want to reach. So 230, 240, 250 in that neighborhood. One bearing manufacturer says 150 degrees above normal temperature will get a bearing in. So it will be able to slide through the shaft. So like I said, temperature is key. Anything above 250 degrees, and actually the temperature is about 264 degrees to be exact, it starts changing the metallurgical structure of the bearing. So you're damaging it metallurgically. So you're damaging the bearing before you're actually installing it. So once again, that's why a rosebud is such a bad idea. There's no way you cannot go above 250 degrees. So 250 is the maximum temperature you ever want to reach, get a bearing to.
All right, perfect. So we really want to use an induction heater so we have precise control of the temperature of that bearing so we don't cause damage to the metallurgical structure of the bearing, various other things like that. And we get a nice even heat of that bearing.
That is correct. Induction heaters also, I must point out, for example, if you have sealed bearings, sealed bearings should never be put on a hot plate or an oven or an oil bath because it affects. So now you have to worry about, okay, to what temperature can you heat the seal itself? Okay, so if this the temperature that of the seal is much less, obviously, than the bearing, you damage it if you reach the temperature you need to reach in order to install it. So when you use an induction heater, it does not affect the seal of the bearing, because it's made out of something non-ferrous that's gonna expand, or non-metallic, not non-ferrous. Usually it's some kind of plastic that, yes, it will heat up due to through heat transfer, but not to the extent that it's actually going to damage a sealed bearing, for example.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you're doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com.
Another advantage to those induction heaters. Now, if we're going to be replacing a bearing, you know, one of the key things I think that comes up out of that is we have to remove the old bearing and not damage the shaft that we're going to, or the housing that we're going to put the new bearing into. So what is the proper procedure to remove that old bearing so then we can properly install the new one?
Well, it's the same thing as installation, having the proper tools. Some of the most, some of the best forms of using is what they call bearing pullers. So it's a hydraulic puller, which you would then grab the bearing, whether it, most of the time it would be on the OD, and it grabs it and it pulls it out evenly. So if you don't have that, and a lot of locations don't have that, that's when they resort to brute force. Either a hammer directly to the bearing itself, or they use a piece of wood so that if you're removing the bearing because you want to see if the bearing is okay, you're actually damaging it to see if it's okay. If it's a damaged bearing and you want to do some kind of forensics and try to figure out why the bearing got damaged, you're going to introduce damages that weren't there, and you won't be able to determine why that damage occurred. So brute force is definitely not the way to go, because a lot of times what will happen is in the process of banging the daylights out of this bearing to get it out, you will be striking the shaft. So you're creating imperfections on the shaft as well. So you don't want to do that. The shaft has to be pristine. And that's part of the initial installation. We have to make sure the shaft is clean and remove all burrs that exist that might have been caused during the extraction of the bearing.
Perfect. So we got to make sure we remove that bearing properly using those tools, not damaging that shaft. And then what is the proper procedure, assuming that we have the induction heater, we remove the bearing properly or old bearing properly? What is that right procedure for installing the bearing now?
So in essence is, so you need to make sure, one, you have to make sure you have the right bearing. So when they say measure twice, measure that you have the proper bearing, preferably the same bearing that was in there to begin with, same dimensions. And the tolerances are extremely important. If you have the wrong tolerance as far as how much does the bearing have to, expand in order to go on the shaft, and then it has to cool down. But then if you exceed the clearances between the ball bearings and the ID and OD, you're damaging as well, because you're putting forces onto the bearing that shouldn't be there to begin with. So you need to make sure that you're putting in the correct bearing, make sure you have the proper tolerances for the bearing. Once you do that, you got to make sure that you have the correct temperature on the induction heater that you're going to use. You then have to make sure that the temperature probe is properly located on the ID of the bearing itself. Then you have to make sure that once the heating cycle is over, whether automatically or manually, make sure you go through the demagnetizing cycle. Once that is done, then you have to make sure you have the bearing at the proper location close to wherever it is you're going to install this bearing, because if you have to walk across the factory, by the time you get there, obviously the bearing started cooling down and shrunk to the point that you won't be able to get it on the shaft, or at least not in the position of the shaft that you would like to. So all those are components of doing proper bearing installation using an induction heater.
Excellent. Now, what type of training is required for a bearing installation using induction heating? Can we just hand the induction heater off to some millwrights or mechanics and let them go? Or what do we got to do here?
Well, it's actually very simple and straightforward. I mean, the amount of training would be is what are the main components of the induction heater you're using? How do I turn it on? How do I change the temperature if I want to go up or down? Where do I put the temperature probe? Then you have to make sure that everybody buys into this culture, you know, of doing proper installation. So it has to be a cultural change. Is everybody on board with using an induction heater? Or are they going to do, you know, everybody's going to do their own thing? So the amount of training is actually just an initial training. And once, because there's very few components, it's pretty straightforward. It needs to be a 450. And at 450, I'm sorry, at 250 degrees, then you set the temperature at 250 degrees, period. And that's it. So as long as they know the main components of that, training is actually really minimal. It's just a cultural change to make sure they're all on the same page of doing it properly to begin with.
Excellent. Now, what type of documentation should we keep when we do installations, if any? I know with alignment, we want to capture, you know, the as found, as left, soft foot correction, stuff like that. What about bearing installation?
Well, up until now, there hasn't been anything such as, you know, keeping records, especially not directly from a piece of equipment, so from any of the induction heaters. So in essence, if somebody want to write it down on a work order and say, yes, we put, you know, 240 degrees or 230 degrees, you went with by what the Millwright or mechanic was putting in at that time. But that was just about it. Now, with that's the beauty of the SureTherm, and one of the things that they added to it is they actually have a graph which will show you the starting point and the finishing point and the amount of time it actually took. You can take that, put that into a memory stick, and put it into an Excel spreadsheet, so you can actually have a physical documentation that came directly from the unit itself that shows, yes, we started at this point and we went to this point and did not exceed that temperature that we had actually set in. So a lot of people really are very, once again, it's a cultural thing. They're going into documentation of even this aspect of it. Like you said, alignment, very important. Where did you find it? Where did you leave it? What, you know, did you have softfoot or whatnot? They're moving towards that. So I think in the future, we're going to see a lot more induction heaters that will be able to capture that information. And right now, SureTherm is the only one that can actually do that.
Excellent. Now, we've talked quite a bit about proper bearing installation. Is there any other thoughts you have that we didn't cover that we want to make sure we touch on?
One of the features that the SureTherm actually has that no other induction heater has is that it actually has the capability of using two temperature probes. What is the advantage of that? When you have a precision bearing, the tolerances, the clearances between the ball bearing and the ID and OD are very, very tight to begin with. So what happens when you heat up a bearing? It heats up from the ID to the OD. So that means the ID gets a lot hotter, a lot faster than the OD does. It takes the OD a while to catch up. That's why you don't want to overheat the ID above the desired temperature, 240 degrees, or between 230 and 250, actually. So what SureTherm has actually done, it has built an induction heater where you would put a temperature probe on the ID, and you would take a temperature, put it on the OD. You would set the maximum temperature that you desire to reach. And then on top of that, you put in the maximum allowable difference between the ID temperature and OD temperature that would not break the tolerances that you're required. The SureTherm then starts heating up, and due through some algorithm that they have built into the system, it keeps track of both those temperatures and doesn't allow it to deviate above whatever you set as a maximum. So that's the beauty of SureTherm. And a lot of bearings get installed, even with an induction heater, which is more efficient, but a lot of people are going, how fast can it be? Well, it can be very fast. The problem with that is if the difference between the ID and OD becomes so big that it starts pressing the ball bearings together, then you can create some burnouting that could take place, deformation of the cage, deformation of the ball bearings themselves. So you create that damage. So that is the beauty, of, once again, of the SureTherm. And it turns out that not only bearings, you have problems with gears, that little meat between the teeth and the ID. That, if that temperature difference is so great, it creates micro cracks that over a long period of time will lead to failure. So the two temperature probe method is actually something new and something great and something that they really put some thought in that apparently is a problem. And they've addressed that problem.
Yeah, that is a good point. Making sure you control that temperature differential between the inner race and outer race, so we're not causing other problems within the bearing. Something I didn't think about. So
absolutely, yeah, we didn't either.
So what is the one thing you think makes the biggest difference in being successful with proper bearing installation? Of the organizations that get it right, what do they do?
They need a procedure. So, for example, we have proper procedure of doing alignments, proper procedure for doing lubrication, proper procedure for doing balancing. So there needs to be, and I think I touched upon it when we were talking, is there has to be a culture change. There got to be a mindset that here is the procedure and that procedure needs to be followed. You need to have the proper tools for not only installing, but also removing. So if you have that in place, that is what's going to make the difference. The tools, the procedures, the mindset. You get those three in line, installation will be flawless from day one.
It's pretty consistent across all the different topics I cover where the importance of procedures continues to come up. Having a procedure for, you know, alignment, installation, bearing installation, even taking readings using some of the predictive technologies. I continue to see the level of importance with procedures. So it just reiterates how important it is to have those and those defined standards. If we're talking about alignment, at what RPM is the allowable misalignment, I guess, if you will? What is those tolerances that we're willing to work with? Having those things. Now, if you had a magic wand, what is the one thing you would change in a typical bearing installation that you see out there?
Wow. That's definitely a tough one. Magic wand. Yeah. Change the mindset of everybody out there to understand that installation is key, that they need to be more conscious of the fact that by not properly installing a bearing, you're damaging the bearing and you're doing yourself a disfavor. And it might, you're being the installer. You're not the one worrying about keeping the machine running and you're just pushing the problem down the road. So with a magic wand, I would definitely want to change the mindset of the people installing the bearings to be more conscious that this is what's going to make or break this machine.
Excellent. Very good. Words of wisdom. If we had that magic wand.
Yes.
Now, what do you want our listeners to take away from this conversation today? What is the one thing that they can go do differently tomorrow, this week, that sort of thing?
Once again, the key of proper bearing installation, that everything hinges on that piece of equipment running. Okay. So if you're not aligning the machine, okay, you can address that issue. If you're not lubricating the machine, that's okay. You can address that issue. But all the alignment and all the lubrication will do nothing for the longevity of a machine if the bearing is not properly installed from the get-go. That is the key for a successful machine, for a machine to successfully run the life expectancy that it has. Of course, you then add to it alignment, lubrication, balancing, you know, those items are important too. But all that pales in comparison that proper installation, if you don't install it properly, you have a problem. You're bound to fail. That machine will fail. And nothing you do can prevent that. You can extend the inevitable, but only slightly.
Well, Bern, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about the proper bearing installation, some of the tools, some of the techniques, the importance of procedures that all go into making sure we install bearings correctly. But before we go, where can people find out more about you, these induction heaters, Ludeca, and so on and so forth?
Our website is www.ludeca.com. In there, under the product section, you'll see a section on induction heaters. And we also have all the reliability maintenance tools as well. So ultrasound, vibration, alignment. So they're all there. And all the information you need can be received there. And you can always call Ludeca at 305-591-8935.
Excellent. Now, last question. Do you have any resources you want to share with our listeners for bearing installation? I know Ludeca has an excellent procedure for alignment. Do they have something like that for bearing installations or so on and so forth?
We're actually working on that, of creating a form or a procedure. You know, these are the 3 steps, 4 steps, 5 steps, 7 steps, whatever it is that is going to finally be the number. The one person I'd like to give a shout out to is Bob Latino, CEO of Reliability Center, Inc. They were quite helpful on a paper that I wrote on the subject of using 2 temperature probes proper bearing installation. He posts a lot of good stuff on LinkedIn. And like I said, that he was quite a bit of help, and his staff and crew were very helpful as well.
Excellent. Well, I'll make sure to put a link to his LinkedIn account as well, because I do see quite a bit of the stuff he posts as well, and it is very good. So
excellent.
Well, Bernd, once again, I want to thank you for taking the time today. I truly appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime, anything that we can do for you or anybody else, we're a phone call away or an email away if that needs. So once again, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.